for letting me do this. This is Karen Musgrave, and I'm conducting a Quilters SOS Save Our Stories interview with Tangie Thomas. Today's date is July 21st, 2009. It is now 9:35 in the morning. We are at the Franklin Pre-Release Center in Columbus, Ohio. And Tangie, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to do this with me. Please first let's start out by telling me why you're here.
I'm here on the system let me down in the sense that my son had been stabbed in his eye. They made the mistake and let the gentleman go, and he was eluding the police. His brother, who was 36 years old, was sending back messages to my family, but he was stalking my 13-year-old daughter going to school. And I worked for an engineering company out of town, and my son was in a coma, and when she told me he was stalking her, I had like a meltdown. And I ran into the gentleman, I'm in here for attempted murder and felonious assault.
Okay, now let's move on to the quilt.
Okay.
Please tell me about your quilt, A Mother's Dream Shattered and Broken.
My quilt is about my son, Sir Daniel. He's my only son, and he's my best friend. I had him when I was a teenager, just out of high school. So at the age of 19, I really didn't know how to raise children. He was my second child, so we kind of raised each other. I was raised in a dysfunctional household myself, and I decided to move away from there. I decided to move to Columbus. And I went through counseling with my children so that I could be the parent that I wanted to be. And my son, he was just the son that any mother would be proud of. When he was about six, a friend of mine I was dating, his son was in football, and he kept bragging about his son being in football. So the next year, I put Sir Daniel in football, and he made the cut. And 2 days later, he quit the team, and I was like, why you quit the team? Because he didn't want to practice. He wanted to just play. And I was like, no, let me go talk to the coach. And the coach was like, I've already spoken to Sir Daniel. So I was like, well, look, you know, punishment, you know, you're just grounded for the next 4 years. I'm not doing no sports or anything, because I had put out all of this money and time. So probably a couple years later, when he turned eight, I got him into, him and his sister into karate at the local recreation. And they were doing it for the summer, and fall came along, and the sensei said that Sir Daniel had potential. So he joined the dojo, and he was in competition. I would go to the dojo, and Sir Daniel from daycare, they would call me from daycare that Sir Daniel was acting up. So he was like a little problem at daycare. And the lady who owned the daycare, her and her husband, when her husband took Sir Daniel with him, Sir Daniel was fine. So I've been going, like, from work always Sir Daniel and call for Sir Daniel. So it's always a problem with Sir Daniel. So with the dojo, when Sir Daniel got in trouble at school, Sensei Carter, I would call him, and he would have Sir Daniel come up to the dojo and do extra chores and everything. Well, later on, I found out that through me going through counseling, I had him and his sister tested that Sir Daniel was dyslexic. Had a very high IQ, though. So for that, we got him into tutoring. So that helped a lot with him. But he's still, Daniel's very outspoken. He's not disrespectful, but he's not going to let you talk down to him like a lot of teachers will do. So I would have to go up to the school all the time for Daniel, and he would tell me what he's done wrong. So when I get in there, I'd be like, yes, Daniel told me what he's done. But you failed to tell me how you handled it, you know, what you handled it wrong, like that. So the dojo. So I decided to join the dojo. But in the style that we took, Daniel was over me. So I'd be like, show me this pita and this pot. And he'd be like, no, show me this and that. And I'd be like, no, I'm not. I ain't doing all of that. So when we'd be in the dojo practicing, it would be me and him practicing, and I'd be trying to get him really good. And the people wouldn't believe that I was his mother. They'd be like, look at that. She's tearing him up. She's trying to. And they'd be like, that's his mother. And they'd be like, really? Yeah, I wouldn't know that. So we did tournaments together. He was undefeated. He was fighting. He ended up fighting grown men at the age of 12, so he was very good. And in the dojo, there's a strict code that they follow. And he got into one fight at school, after school, and he ran home and told me, but it was the Karate Creed, Mom, it was the Karate Creed. And I'm like, well, what is it? And he repeated it to me, and there was some witnesses there, and they told me what happened. So I was like, okay. So he did good on that. Later on, I got sick. I was going to school for engineering. I went to school for mechanical, and I changed mine to civil. But I had a lot of female problems, and I had endometriosis and a couple of cysts in my ovaries. So I was real sick. But I had, Daniel had got this, bought him this leather jacket everybody wanted. And I'm never going to forget this time. I came home and we have a 125-gallon fish tank. And there was this money on top of the fish tank. And I usually leave money on top of the fish tank for the kids to pay bills or whatever. And he had sold his jacket for me to pay the bills. You know, that's the type, he was 16. 16-year-olds don't do that. You know, that's the type of person that Daniel was. When he turned 18, I got him a place next door to where I lived at, and a lot of his friends were going to college. And I told him, I said, well, I don't want you to go to college because I want you to go to college. I want you to go to college because you want to go to college. Take a year off. But I didn't mean not to work. So he took the whole year off. So I was paying all of his bills, and I would get off of work, and the word of the day is J-O-B. I'll go over there and harass him. His friends would be like, that's your mom. She's coming over. But when 9/11 happened, that was a turning point, because I was so proud of him because he decided to go into the reserves after that. His last name is Muhammad, because my last name was Muhammad. I didn't know this until after I had my kids. My mother was in Islam. She never told us, but it was on our birth certificate. So I had to get my name legally changed to Thomas, because all of my stuff was in Thomas. So his name is Sedania, which is Cuban. And I guess in the Quran it has something close to that. So he was running into problems getting jobs, even getting his security clearance. They didn't do his security clearance until a whole year and a half after he had got in there. But he was getting ready to go to Afghanistan or Kuwait. But we had a kennel. Together, and he named it Tangy and Son Kennel. We did boxers. What happened was, he had decided that she was going to go full time. We had our master plan because we were getting ready to do a big business together. And his girlfriend, it was his high school girlfriend, they had planned to get married in when he turned 27. He had everything mapped out, how everything was going to go. And November the 10th, he went to a friend's house, and the two roommates were fighting, getting ready to fight. And he intervened to try to stop them from fighting. And the guy stabbed him in his eye, and it went into his brain. And he has frontal lobe brain damage. And with frontal lobe brain damage, you're not the same person. Your personality has changed. You're not the same person who you was. On top of that, he had a stroke on his right side while he was in the coma. So at this point, he's in a nursing home. So I dedicated this book to him. It's a mother's dream shattered and broken because it was a dream that I had for my son, from a child to an adult, things that he would do. And I had always planned to live with him in my own days. And I was, make sure you get the little apartment, over the garage for me, when I'm older. We were so close that he had his own place. I had moved and purchased a house. And he was over there all the time. And when he went back to his house, I was like, man, I sure do miss it, Daniel. He was like, man, I sure do miss mommy. And his pipes had busted, so he got out of his lease and moved back home. That was when we were like, man, do our master plan to get our business and stuff. And I'm like, wow, why are we so close to Daniel? He was like, mommy, we just think alike. That was the thing, we just think alike. And I had one of his friends was over there, and I was telling him, I said, I've been going to school for Sedania since he was in daycare. He was like, daycare? I was like, yes, daycare. Because I had just went to school for him. And I said, if I hear the speech from the principal one more time, I think I might have to give you a spanking, son. And then they go through the speech again, and we look at each other. It's like, but Daniel, what it was, he was so outspoken that he was just, they didn't like the way that he spoke, but he never disrespected them, like that. So, he gets suspended. I just want to go back to school. So
how did you come about creating the quilt?
Chaplain Burns at Marysville had a seminar for sacred threads, and a lady came in, and she had this one with the tree. I forget her name.
Pignatelli.
Yes. And she was telling us about it, and I was like, okay. So when she was talking, I was like forming the one in my mind. But when we had the group, and Chaplain Burns was like, you have a year to do the quilt. So I thought about it, and I said, well, I want my quilt to be different than anyone's. I had a friend of mine who does sketches for me, and I spoke with her about doing the original painting of the mural, and she didn't think she could first do it, and Churchill is her name, and she was like, you really think I can do it? And I was like, yeah, I think you can do it. And I told her how I wanted Sedanio as a child, as an infant, a little bit older, then as a grown man with the bull coming out, because that's his zodiac sign, but the bull just represents how his personality, the stubbornness, how when the doctor told me that he was going to die that Saturday, and I was like, my son's not going to die, because I know my son's a fighter. When he was in the coma and they had him on a machine, and I was talking, and you could see the machine, how he was trying to come out of it, you know, it would go up. And I was like, my son's a fighter. He's not going to go out of it. This is just not his time to die. And then the grave, the tombstone is the things that he's lost from the frontal lobe, the things that he would normally have, the personality, things that everyone would have in their life, the dreams that he had, because now he has to have someone to look after him, to take care of him, because he has changed. And that's the part there that, with me overlooking, you know, his life, the dreams are gone and they're shattered and they're broken. It's his life, just everything. And it's just worthless over that because he never got justice for it. With him being in a coma, he's forgotten what had happened to him with the guy stabbing him, so he never got justice at all. That just shows how it's cracked and the grayness of everything.
But tell me about the back.
The back, you saw the back? The back of it is, and it's kind of unfinished. It represents the zodiac signs of me being Leo, and then my daughter is Pisces the fish. I wasn't able to finish all of it because I had to come to pre-release. How I look, the lion just looks over. You know, how the king of the jungle just looks over. You know, he's just sitting there and everybody else is doing things for him. But he is over everything. I am like the head of the family and I try to look over my children. And I still feel that way.
So why did you decide to do two sides?
Because of my girls, I have two daughters and I have a granddaughter. And I just wanted them to be included because they're a part of my family too. I got a daughter, Yasmin. I got another daughter, India, who's 17. And then I have a granddaughter, Ayende, who's 7 years old. So I wanted my girls to be in that as well, because they're all a big part of my life. Because on the front is all of my boys. The infant is my grandson, Cedeno. The other young man on there is my grandson, Navier. Those are the pictures of them. So I wanted my girls to be included as well.
Have they seen the quote?
No, they haven't seen the quote at all. So they will be very surprised to see that. So Daniel hasn't seen it either, so that would be a good thing.
And how do you want to finish it?
The two sides, the Geminis, is the two girls, my daughter, my granddaughter. I'm going to have a mass, African mass, with the beads. I have the beads that's intricately laid across the mass. And then on the other side is the African girls, it's a dancing girls, mirror image, and they have different color with the black, and then they have the different color strips in their hair. It's multicolor rainbow of color of head dressing that's in their hair, like that.
So what was your favorite part of making the quilt?
The favorite part for me making the quilt was watching the characters as far as her painting the my grandson, the infant, Cedeno, Navier, and my son Cedeno, how that just came about. The pictures are just so lifelike of them. She did such an excellent job on there.
And how did she feel about that?
Oh, it was awesome to her. She didn't think that she could do it. And while she was doing it, other people was watching her, and she got other business from that. That was the first time she had ever did something of that magnitude. So she was just so surprised about it, how it just came out very good. And she took her time on it. It's awesome. I love it. That quote is just fantastic. It helped me do a lot of healing. Like Chaplain Burns said, as far as doing it with my son, I still have a long ways to go, but
you're starting.
Yeah.
So what do you plan to do with the quilt?
I was going to have the quilt hanging up. I was going to send it to my son in the nursing home because I think my daughter would keep it because it has her two sons in it. So I was going to send it to my son in the nursing home for him to hang up. So, it was so beautiful and awesome. I know that he'll take good care of it. And my daughter, she'll just keep it, and she don't know. We'll see. I really want it for myself.
Well, you'll be up soon.
Oh, yeah. I will.
So you had to write an essay. How was writing the essay for you?
That really took a lot of me. I really couldn't have done it. It was very hard for me to do it. I broke down when I wrote it because it's from my heart and it's about my son, what he means to me. Chaplain Burns, she's just the greatest. She understood everything because it was very hard for me to do, to pour out my soul like that.
Have you heard about how the quilts have been received?
No.
They love them.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
that's
good. Yeah. Very good.
Love
you did a good job. Mm-hmm. You did a really good job. So do you think you'll ever make any more quilts?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. Oh, yeah. I love doing the quilt. That was my first time doing a quilt in that detail. I like doing it. And that's something I said I'm going to do most definitely when I get out because it's awesome. It really is. And the time that you put into the quilt, the love, yes, I definitely plan on doing it. They have some quilts here, but nothing on that magnitude like we were doing, most definitely nothing. I wish they could have something like that here. But yeah, I definitely do some quilting here.
So what advice would you offer somebody making their first quilt?
Lay it out. Take your time. Think about it first on what you want to do. Sketch it out. Take your time. Most things is take your time. And get the material that you want to do. And you can't go wrong on something that's in your head. So if you sketch it out first, you do another draft, it's basically taking your time, what you see. That's the best thing I can say. Because it's nothing wrong with it at all. It's just taking your time and having the room to do it. Because if you think you're doing something wrong or a color doesn't match, to go outside the room, lay it out, walk outside the room, and then come back. And then you'll see it a totally different way. That's the main thing. That's what I would do. I lay it out, and then if I don't think that it's right, I walk outside the room, come back in a few minutes, and then I'll get another idea on it. That's the main thing.
So did you do yours all by hand?
Yes. We did not have machines. Yes, it was all by hand. Everything was by hand. And I was using some of that nylon thread. And to do the frame around his face, it took hours just to do. Yeah, it took hours to do that. But I think that's the best way to do it. I mean, if you got a machine, that's good too. But to do it by hand is to put the love into it. Most definitely put the love into it. That's the way I think.
What was your favorite part of painting it?
My favorite part was putting in my face, my silhouette on the side with the working with the vinyl material with the eyes. I loved that part, kind of looking over it, and then I would lay it back down and putting it, really just kind of putting it all together on how I want it laid out was the best part. Seeing it in my mind and then putting it down and then redoing it because it changed several times on how I wanted it. I knew how I wanted the baby, the infants and stuff with the graveyard. That part with the, not the graveyard, but the stone, the headstone kind of changed a couple of times. But that was the best part, just trying to lay it out to see how I wanted it, how it looked good on the quilt.
Is there anything else you'd like to share before we conclude?
No, I just think that anyone can do quilting. I wasn't the quilting type. I'm an engineer and don't even sew buttons on stuff. So I think anyone can do the quilting if you take your time. And it's something that you can pick up. You don't have to do it every day. It's something you can pick up and take your time to do it and lay it down and pick it up when you feel like doing it. I think anyone can quilt.
I want to thank you for taking time out of your day to share with me and talk to me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're going to conclude our interview at 10:03.